I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to hold it in my arms and keep it company. I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honey bees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to see the world always all standing hand in hand. Divine love filling each heart and peace throughout the land. It's the sound I hear. And I'm here to say what the world wants today is the real thing. And I don't mean coke, honey. Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And that is, I sing that to you not because I'm a great singer. I've been asked to stop singing before. But because that is a song that is written on my heart, and you will always get the real thing here. You will always get what is to uplift and inspire and heal and rejuvenate and harmonize and encourage you to live your dreams. That's what you will always get here, with no strings attached, with not asking for anything. For anything from you except to live your dreams and pass it on, my darling. And so since I'm interested only in the real thing, I've invited, and many times I've invited, this beloved, beautiful guest, Sharon Callahan, to be with us. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you, Iris. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show again. It's always such a great honor and such a lot of fun.
Thank you, Sharon. And I want to tell you some things about Sharon. She is an internationally acclaimed animal communicator. And she is, I don't know what to call you. She's the founder of Anaflora. And are an animal healer with flower essences as well as intuitive listening. And
well,
you have a book by and you have a book by the same name, Healing Animals Naturally with flower essences and intuitive listening. And Sharon, you work for the good and the well-being of animals all the time. And I know you do. and it is such an inspiration. I am so thrilled by it. I am so... What?
I think one of the real miracles of life is just that all beings can communicate, you know, not just... the people and the animals, but the flowers and the insects and the wind and the rain and all of it. Each living thing and each element has a voice. And that's a true miracle, isn't it?
Yes, and it is the expression of the one love.
Yes, it is.
If we stop and listen. You know, one of the things that's been on my mind, Sharon, and has been very hard for me, is to notice all the ways people imprison and use animals for their own purposes.
Yeah.
Not for the well-being of the animal, and not for the well-being of all life, you know, in the way they do business, but in... just for the bottom line, for profit, and I've been looking at that thing of profit, and I've been looking at why people do that, and the only answer I come up with is they don't know the source of all love.
That's right. And they don't know the source of all love, and they don't know the source of all abundance, which of course comes and flows from the source of all love. And I think people that do unkind and exploitive things, really it's because they're in ignorance somehow of the true love of God and the abundance that flows to us all the time. And so so many people go into a state of fear, feeling that they won't have enough, or that the only way to survive is through the exploitation of other beings. And then, of course, you know, a lot of it, too, over the millennia has to do with the misinterpretation of so many different scriptures, you know, whether it's in Christianity or Buddhism or other religions and so forth. And really, the truth, as you know so beautifully, Iris, is so very simple, and it really does all boil down to love. And, you know, in all of the different religions and all the different scriptures from all those religions, if you boil it down to the basics, they all say that. They all say that the very bottom line is love, and that we should love one another, and that we should do unto our neighbor as we wish our neighbor to do unto us. And somehow the human ego has interpreted all of that as meaning just people and not the animals and not the plants. But of course, that was never meant in the beginning. In the beginning, when God said to different teachers and masters to love one another, of course he meant the animals too and the plants, because we really are all one. Just as simple as that.
He meant to love all expressions that he's given life to.
Absolutely. And every expression is so uniquely beautiful and so magnificent. I think that to some extent we've just lost touch with the magic of life and the beauty and the uniqueness and the equality of all beings, because we separated ourselves too much from the natural world, and we've kind of got stuck in our minds. And I think one of the things we all need to do is to go outside more often and be with the animals and be with the plants.
And watch them. They're so magic. They're so magic.
They have so much to teach us.
Well, you know, if you're in the vibration of fear, though, you can't really take time for that. I'll give you an example for me. One day, I was really in a state. I was worrying about all kinds of things. And I just, you know, it was one of those days. Have you had those days when your ego gets up before you and the day gets up before you? And it's just happening, and you don't really have time to just sit and be and meditate. You know, one of my worst things has been having to handle a voicemail before I meditated. You know, especially like if it's the phone company or something. And so I was in one of those states. You know, I wasn't in the flow of nature and in the flow of life. And I just couldn't seem to straighten myself out. And I went out to the pool, and I just said, I'm going to take a swim now, no matter how hectic and awful this day is looking. And so I got in the pool, and as I did, the sun was shining, and I started noticing the flowers around the pool, and I was just being grateful and being grateful and being grateful. And as I was more and more grateful and happy, I noticed everything slowed down and it wasn't hectic. And then I saw this little bug, and I got him out of the pool, and he waved at me. He was like leaning over the edge. I picked him up with my flipper, and he was leaning over the edge of it, and he looked in my eyes and he waved to me, Sharon, and he said,
yes,
thank you. And it was one of those things. I've had more and more I've been more and more and more aware of all the animals and all the insects since I've been working with you. And even then I said, oh, I'm just imagining that. You know, I couldn't tell anybody this.
Right.
And then he said, no, you're not. And he waved with the other hand. He said, thank you, thank you. And so I got him out of the pool, and I thought about that for a long time. And I think that kind of magic is going on all the time. And we've been too grown up and too concerned with things that aren't important to really feel into that and be in the flow of nature.
It's like we're missing all the miracles that are happening all the time. I don't know if I've told it on the show before, Iris, so stop me if I'm repeating myself, but...
Oh, no, your repeats are good.
My very first experience of animal communication when I was a little girl, I was about 6 years old, was with a praying mantis. And I was out playing in my yard, and my cat had cornered something in this kind of concrete patio that we had. And so I was fascinated by what she might be looking at. So I got right down on the ground, almost at cat's eye level. And when I looked in the direction she was looking, there was this incredible insect, which I now know as an adult, I know it was the praying mantis, but as a six-year-old little girl, I'd never seen anything quite like it. I mean, it really looked like some kind of space creature. You know, they have such a...
Yeah, definitely, they do.
...conscious eyes. And the praying mantis, it turned its head and it looked directly at me, but all the while its arms were waving like you were describing the little bug in the pool. But the praying mantis's arms were waving in the direction of the cat.
Oh, I think we're getting a call. Hi.
Hi. I have a question.
Hi. Oh, okay. Who is this?
This is Rose.
Hi, Rose.
Hi.
Can you just wait just a second until Sharon finishes her story, and then we'll take your question? Okay.
You
hold on.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead.
The praying mantis was looking directly at me, but she was waving her arms at the cat because she was frightened. And Iris, as clear as anything, she said to me, please don't let the cat hurt me. I have children, and I can't die now. And it really came as a voice. And so, you know, at 6 years old, I thought this praying mantis was so incredible, but also a little bit scary. I got up all my courage, and I scooped her up in my hand, and I put her up on this branch of this willow tree, and she turned around and faced me again and said, thank you so much. I'll repay the favor someday. And that was my very first communication. And after we talk with Rose, I can come back to this again and let you know how she repaid the favor.
Oh, I want to hear that. And thank you for calling, Rose. What is your question, my darling?
Yes, thank you very much. I have a question about my pet. She's her name is Wookie. She's a chow. I'd like to know if she has anything she needs to tell me, maybe, that maybe I'm not meeting her needs of any type, or any help you can give me on that.
And Rose, would you spell her name for me? Is it Wookie, like W-O-O-K-I-E?
Exactly, yes.
Yes, and she's a chow?
Yes.
And can you tell me Wookie's age?
She's about 7.5 years old.
Uh-huh. You know, she tells me that she's very happy, and she's a little surprised that you're asking about her. She's a little bit worried that you think there might be something wrong with her, and she says that she feels like she's in perfect health and that you shouldn't worry.
I do worry about her health. I wonder if she's sometimes in pain with, you know, any type of arthritis or anything like that, or joint pain.
Well, you know, she doesn't really know what arthritis is in the way that we do, what she would say about that is that she feels sometimes a little bit stiff when she gets up.
Okay.
And sometimes when she gets down, but she says it's nothing that's a big deal, and she says it doesn't cramp her style much.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, my intuition, Rose, as well as speaking with animals directly, I often pick up things with my own intuition, and I think she might actually... not so much have arthritis as some like muscular discomfort.
She had an operation for her ligament about six months ago, and she still limps a little bit with that.
Are you doing any kind of, or did you do any kind of physical therapy for her?
Well, I would, you know, I would touch it and massage it and that type of thing. And she's very active, so, I mean, she really does it herself. She's constantly, even during, you know, her recuperating from that, she was very active.
Sometimes, though, when, you know, when we've had a surgery of any kind, you know, we would think that just getting back to our regular life and our activity would be enough. But I think that, you know, any kind of surgery is kind of a trauma, not only to the body, but to all of the systems, you know, the chakra system, the energy system of the body.
Yes.
And sometimes after a surgery, it's like the body and the auric field kind of need a restructuring or a repatterning. And sometimes that kind of thing actually takes a very mindful, concentrated kind of exercise. Like, it might benefit her when she's relaxed and maybe a little sleepy at the end of the day to just, you know, manipulate her legs slightly, you know, rotate them slightly.
I do that. Sometimes when she's standing, I go to the leg that's injured and I massage it and apply just my hands. I feel like I'm healing her. And I do that. I try to manipulate her leg when I can.
I think that's very, very good. I mean, I would encourage you to continue with that. And then, you know, maybe the other thing that you could add, I mean, my sense is she has a little bit of a, like an energetic blockage that's keeping her from getting completely well.
What does that mean, energetic blockage?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that.
What do you mean by energetic blockage?
Well, you know, if we have any kind of impediment in our body, if we have a ligament or a joint problem or a heart problem or a problem with any of the body organs, it usually causes a kind of tightening or coagulation of the energy in that area. And then if we have a surgery, even if the surgery is... geared towards solving the problem or correcting it, the surgery itself can cause the body and the energy structure of the body to concentrate energy in that particular area. So usually what's necessary is some method of visualization and manipulation of the body that just gets the flow going again. You know,
so what
for any
I do?
For any of us, like animals or humans, the divine light and the vital force energy comes in through the top of the head and flows through the body. And with Wookiee, of course, it would flow in through the top of her head, fill her body cavity, and flow out the tip of her tail. So while you're manipulating her body and doing whatever healing work you do, something that would be very beneficial is just to visualize that divine light coming in through the top of her head and just moving slowly through her body and out the other end without any obstruction, because that'll begin to retrain her energy not to get stuck anywhere, but to move smoothly through. And it's really a very simple thing, but I think if you try it, you'll find it very, very effective. And it's something really good to do even with ourselves and for animals in our family that are healthy, because it kind of retrains the energy to move slowly through rather than getting stuck.
Is it kind of like surrounding her in the white light and ridding her of any negative energies, or is it similar to that?
It's similar. similar to that, except you want to bring the white light or the divine energy right into her, right in through the top of her head, filling her body, all the body organs, and then right out the other end.
Cleansing
it out.
Because
that's
okay.
How the natural flow of energy goes.
Okay. Okay. I'll do that. I definitely will do that, and I appreciate.
Yes, and I think you'll actually see quite a difference, because my sense is that Wookiee can be just about completely normal and healed. But she's a very happy dog and very energetic, and she doesn't really notice the discomfort or stiffness much. I mean, she's very able to kind of work through that and just keep going.
Okay, well, okay. Thank you very much. I will definitely
welcome.
Be doing that.
Rose, could I add one more thing?
Yes.
Have you used essential oils at all?
Scented oils?
Essential oils.
No, I don't even know what that is.
Well, essential oils are the very essence of flowers and plants, and they're very medicinal. And there is an essential oil called Tanaway that you can get from Young Living, and
repatterning.
Well, it's not only repatterning, but it's for the regeneration of muscle and tissue. And
yeah.
It's also for pain and stiffness. It brings more oxygen into the body, and it works on a number of levels. It works with anything emotional, like the body remembers surgery. Even though
yeah.
it's asleep, it remembers surgery, so there's a trauma there. So it
That's
works
right.
on the emotional trauma. And essential oils are very magical, and dogs respond very well to them, and you can use it on yourself, like if you hurt your knee or you hurt your elbow or something, it will heal really much faster using that. So you can just look on the website. It's www.youngliving.com, and the name of the oil is Panaway.
How
so
do you
when
spell
you're,
that?
Panaway.
Okay, I definitely.
And it's kind of expensive, but it lasts a long time.
Okay.
And I tell you, it's magical. And
she's worth it.
Yes, it's very worth it.
Okay.
And I would use it while you're doing the manipulation,
okay.
and you're doing the visualization for her. I don't think she'll mind it at all. It doesn't
no.
smell great, but. I've had real great results with my animals.
Well, thank you very much
and
for that.
I've used it myself, and it was just very, very helpful. So that's a wonderful suggestion.
And I put that on her leg, that oil, the essential oil?
Yeah,
I put it on her leg?
Yeah, where she had the surgery.
Yeah, on her leg.
And any other place you feel intuitively she might have a little problem, you know?
Okay. Okay, well, thank you, ladies, so much. You've given me so much information, and I bless you both.
And Rose, bless you and Wookiee and all animals, every place,
yes.
and all the people that love them.
Thank you.
Have thank a good you for
night.
Calling.
Thank you. Bye bye.
So, Sharon, tell
yeah.
us how the praying mantis repaid you.
Oh, so the praying mantis, when I lifted her up on the tree branch, told me that she would repay the favor one day. And, of course, as I grew up and got busy in school and all the things that happen when you're growing up, I kind of forgot that. But then at various turning points throughout my life, and I'm now in my 60s, a praying mantis has appeared. So the praying mantis really has become a tremendous guide for me. I mean, really like an angel appearing. In fact, the last time a praying mantis appeared in my life was just about the time that my flower essence book was becoming complete. And for anyone in our audience who's ever written a book, you know, when you get down to the end, it gets pretty arduous. There's always a million things to correct, and I was getting a bit discouraged. And I walked down on my front porch, and right on the porch railing facing me was a praying mantis. And I lived in the same place for 10 years, and I'd never seen one. And she clearly looked at me and told me not to be discouraged, to just get on with it and get things finished, and everything would be all right. So the insects, just like our dogs and cats and other companion animals, can be tremendous guides and helpers and healers. So it really does pay to pay attention to all of them, you know, give all of them our respect.
And they want to help us.
They do, and so much they do.
They want us to all work together.
Yes, they do.
Well, you know, Sharon, I want to go back to that thing about sort of all the ways people live on and sort of prey on animals,
mm-hmm.
because it really stuck in my mind. The thing that you said is when people stop being predators, animals will stop being predators too, and
yes.
the lion will lie down with the lamb, and we
yes.
will have peace on earth.
That's right.
So I've been looking at all the way people are predators, and they don't mean to be predators.
No.
Lots of them don't mean to be and don't even think about it. And and it comes from fear that they, you know, hold animals captive and use them for their own purposes. And I can hardly bear to see an animal in a cage. I can hardly bear it. And I worked with someone that was very depressed one time, and I said, "Why are you depressed?" And she said, "Well, I'm working in the animal control."
Oh.
And my job is to throw the animals in the incinerator after they're destroyed. And this was a person that loved animals, Sharon. And
oh,
I said,
gosh.
Why on earth are you doing that? And she said, well, I have to have a job. And then it was very interesting. And then I talked to another person that was depressed that week. And I said, well, what do you do for work? And she said, I do makeup in a mortuary. And she said the same thing to me. Well, I have to have a job. And I have very good news for people. You don't have to have a job. You need to find out what you're here to do and do that, and don't let anything stop you. And
That's
trust
right.
God. And That's trust right. God. And allow God to provide for you. And you know, since I've been working with you, I've become more and more and more aware of this, and more aware. I had a really temptation for myself. My dad left me 29 and a half acres of timber and oil land in Texas.
Wow.
And I have been approached by both the timber companies and the oil companies. And I've been to that land. I've walked on it barefoot. And
yeah.
it is the home of many, 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 many trees and many, many animals. And I thought, well, I'll sell the timber, but I'll do it after all the nests are, you know, all the birds fly away and the
yeah.
nests and stuff. And then I couldn't do it, Sharon. And you know, I'm in a position right now where lots of sources of income that I'm used to have
yeah.
been stopped. And I was very tempted by both the lumber and the oil offer.
Yeah.
And I really got that what I want to do on that land is grow trees. Grow
oh,
trees. What?
How wonderful.
Just grow trees so people can breathe better and so the animals
yeah.
will be safe. And where they're doing logging all around it, then the animals will come there. And I know everything will be handled for me financially because I can do that.
That's right. And in some miraculous way, the trees and the animals will provide tremendous abundance for you that wouldn't have come in any other way.
You worked with another friend of mine about her dog, Max, and she was so excited. She called me up and she said, Max came to me to help me write this book and manifest abundance in every area of my life. Talk about that.
And Max is just absolutely wonderful. I mean, Max is a little bit of a dog on a physical level, but he absolutely came into Dina's life to bring her abundance through a book, not just a book that Dina is going to write, but a book that Max is going to write. So he's going to write a book, and Dina's going to take dictation. And together, not only are they going to have lots of abundance, but they're going to go around the country doing book signings, Dina and Max.
Bringing
people's attention to all of the wonderful things that animals and people can do in partnership. Not only to create abundance for themselves, but for everyone.
That's so lovely.
It is wonderful.
It is wonderful. So, I want to ask you, like, what would you say to this person who's doing something like that they hate and putting animals in an incinerator after they're destroyed? I mean, I know in my heart there is a home for every animal.
There is.
People need to be supported in making that place and that joy in themselves of being with animals.
Yes, and of course you're right. I mean, there's no being of any kind that's born into the world that doesn't belong here and doesn't deserve a complete long life in a loving home. It absolutely is possible. I mean, it's simply that collectively as human beings, we've decided that what goes back to deciding that there's lack of abundance and lack of love. But it isn't true. I mean, there's plenty of abundance and plenty of room and plenty of homes for all of the animals. We just have to begin to look at things differently. And
yeah,
I think
you're
absolutely right, too. You're right about the woman who had the job of incinerating the animals. I mean, not only would that kind of a job make her sick, but it's, you know, putting out the vibration of death into the world. And I would just encourage that woman in every way that I could to connect with her true gift, which is not very deeply buried. You know, there's some tremendous gift that she has that's just right there within reach that would provide her with all the abundance she needed and would also give her a way to build on the experience that she's had and talk about it and help people to find a different way.
Yes, a way that's joyous.
That's
like,
right.
Like when I think of just growing trees there, I feel really joyous.
Isn't that
if I
wonderful?
Think of old nasty oil wells being there and all the trees cut down, I just, you know, I see this part of the earth that I'm responsible for being barren and sad.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know, my answer to people is do what really makes you happy. And, you know, there might not be as much money, and God will, I can't even explain the things that happen to me about money. There's always, always, always plenty of money.
Yes.
And all I do
is... Amazingly so. Isn't it true? It's like it comes out of nowhere just when you need it.
Yeah, and there's always more than I think. You know, it's sort of like, and I think I've seen everybody do this at some time. It's sort of like if you've ever had a whole bunch of people over for dinner, like Thanksgiving and stuff, and you go, oh, my God, do I have enough food? And then there's so much food, you wish you would have invited 12 more people, and you make people take some home and all of that. You know, there's always way more than enough.
That's right.
Way more than enough.
That's right. And so, in some ways, I think the collective consciousness, particularly in our Western culture, you know, we just, we really have excesses of everything. You know,
we do.
Just, and it really all the diseases, too, both for human beings and animals, are basically diseases of excess. So really, as we connect more with nature, just get back to that simple connection with each day and the animals and the plants and trees, and back to the joy of just the simple things, there's absolutely enough for everyone. There's a home for everyone. There's a food for everyone. It's really very simple.
You know, I want you to talk more about that, about the excesses, but for me, one time I was, I used to think that on my children's birthday I needed to spend a lot of money on them, buy them something memorable and, you know, and exciting, and I used to take them to places like Neiman's and Saks and buy them a really fancy outfit, and it's funny, our son is going to be 40 this year, and he still has an outfit from, no, actually, my husband's been wearing the outfit from when he was 18. I bought him at Neiman Marcus. So I did buy him some good, really good stuff. But this one day, I went to Saks with my son to buy him an outfit, and we went through there, and I was looking at a lot of these clothes that, I mean, they were made out of orange, that orange stuff they wear on job sites, you know? Raincoat sort of material, that bright orange, and they were charging like $900 for it.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, this is like fashion. This is like important. This is like, you know, people will spend $900 for this. And I was shocked, you know, and sort of horrified. And my son was trying on these real outrageously expensive T-shirts. And I went up to, out, and I was looking out the window, and I looked down Union Square. There's a park there, and there's beautiful flowers and lawn. And I looked down there, and my child self said, I sure would like to be home in the garden now. Why aren't we home in the garden now? And I think we have to listen to that child self and stop doing those things we've been trained to think are important.
That's right. And, you know, so many people now really, with the very best intentions, do the same thing with their animals. You know, the dog or cat's birthday will come, and the person will think, oh, they have to go out and buy them a new bed or a collar or a leash or some other toy. When you communicate with the animal would almost always say, well, let's just go for a little bit longer walk today. You know, it's just as simple as that, going out in nature.
Could we throw the frisbee?
Could we throw the frisbee just an extra time or two?
Yeah.
So the animals are such great teachers of just the joy and the abundance of the simple things in life.
Yes, and, you know, since I had that experience, I've noticed more and more that the things I loved to do when I was a child are the things that really bring me happiness now.
Oh, and you know, also, Iris, when I talk to people and they are wanting to connect with their soul purpose, and, you know, maybe they're in a job that they don't like, that's making them sick or unhappy, almost always, if we go back into that person's childhood, to the things that they loved the most when they were just a little child, it's the very thing that they should be doing now. It's the thing that would bring them abundance as an adult. But we forget, you know, we forget that it can be just that simple.
Wow. Sharon, how can people reach you?
Oh, the easiest way would be to go to the Anna Flora website, which is www.annaflora.com. And they can also call 877-926-1245.
Thank you, Sharon, and I very much recommend Sharon's work. She has manifested many miracles for our kitties, and one of them was that we used to have thousands of fleas, and it was just our carpet was hopping with them, and I won't use poison. I will not use poison of any kind, and I don't want to solve things by death. I don't want to solve things by anyone suffering. And so, but I still would, if I saw a flea on my cat's, I'd smash it right then. I just, you know, was not compassionate personally with fleas. And, but I didn't want to be doing that. And so, Sharon talked to our fleas. And Sharon, I'm so grateful. Like, once in a while, there'll be one or two on six cats. We have six cats.
That's pretty good average there, two fleas on six cats.
Once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in exactly the same place, have exactly the same environment, and the fleas have just agreed to leave our cats alone. Once in a while, there's a renegade, you know.
It really is just a matter of talking to them with great respect. And really, I think of myself as being just an ordinary person. It's just that I really love all living beings, even the fleas and things. And when they know that you don't want to do anything harmful to them, then they're willing to cooperate and do the best they can within reason. To bring their instincts and things under the control. The real amazing thing in my work, though, Iris, is, you know, so many people really do call me in the beginning about solving a behavior problem or finding out maybe why an animal is sick or someone in the family has a problem and the animal is distressed over that and not doing well. But the most magical thing is when all of the three-dimensional things have been dealt with and everything's kind of brought up to date, almost without fail, the animal has something incredible to tell their person about their person's life purpose and how to manifest abundance. Because, you know, the animals really, they know everything about us. They know our heart's desires. They know the negative patterns and things that are getting in our way. And so very often they can just give us the little clue that we need at any given time to make our life so much better. And it's always very simple. One thing I see over and over and over again is that the truth is simple.
The truth is simple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, whenever I've been stressed or anything, I just look at my cats and I think, they have such a sense of well-being.
Yes, they do.
Such a sense of well-being. And I just sort of tune into that. And I just sort of see myself stretching out like that, laying in the sun.
Boy, they know how to do it, don't they?
Don't they?
They really do.
I wanted to talk a little bit about bees because there's been a lot of concern about disappearance of bees in a lot of areas.
Oh, yes. You know, it's been happening in a major way since, I think the mid-1980s. And, of course, if we think about the significance of bees as pollinators, it's a major, major world issue. And, you know, really, Iris, it goes back to what you were talking about with the human exploitation of animals of all kinds. And if you consider the way that bees are treated commercially, it's as much an exploitation as any other kind of, it's like slavery almost.
You mean to make honey?
Well, in the ways that we do it, you know, it all goes back to what we were talking about with people needing things in excess. You know, to me, honey is just an incredible, it's like an elixir, and it's actually meant to be medicinal. And yet, because we have such a like an over appetite for excesses of everything, it's tremendously stressful on the bees. The thing with commercial beekeeping, I mean, I'm not an expert at all on bees from a scientific level. I just love them very much. But you know, when they do the commercial production of honey, they actually, in those white boxes that you see out in the field, they have a kind of like a artificial honeycomb that gets slid in that box. There's little plastic openings that actually force the bees to make their honeycombs bigger than they would naturally, so that the bees right from the very beginning are under stress because they're having to make the little segments of the honeycomb bigger than they would do in nature. So the reason the bees are disappearing, I mean, on a physiological level, is that they're incredibly stressed, and it affects their immune system. But I think really the bigger reason for the disappearance of the bees, and really the reason for the disappearance of all of these incredible species that have become extinct, and all of the species of animals and plants that are going extinct every day, the bottom line really is that they're leaving the earth because we don't love them enough. That's the bottom line. So, you know, we come full circle. You know, it really all has to do with love. And whether it's the honeybees or the disappearance of other species, we need to love them more and to honor them more and to talk to them more.
Well, I think, truthfully, people do love them, but they have been sort of asleep to loving themselves.
Yes, that's true.
And so it's been people, I think people's love has just been sort of blocked up, like, I'll love myself if I look like this. I'll love myself if I have this plastic surgery. I'll love myself if I have this job. I'll love myself if things go right today, you know. I'll love myself if I get all A's on my report card. And so that's what places so much stress.
It does.
And then people are placing stress on everything else, to more, better, you
that's
know,
right.
Instead of seeing the perfection of what is.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And each one of us, each person, is a miracle, and each person is absolutely perfect as they are without doing anything differently. You know, God really only creates masterpieces.
Well, what would you say to people that will, what will help? What will help with the bees?
Well, I think that you hit the nail on the head. We have to love ourselves to realize that we're children of the universe or children of God, however you want to look at it, because if we can see ourselves as divine beings, then we will be able to see all the other creatures as divine beings also. there's so much to be said about the bees. I hope in some other program we can actually come back to it, because there's so much
good.
That the bees have to say and so much that we can learn from them. And not at all. I mean, I think another thing, Iris, that stops people learning more about a certain species of animals, number one, I think it's hard on the heart, or we think it will be too tragic to tune into some species of animals that's going extinct. But I think also people are under the misconception that they would have to be able to help bees, they would have to be able to learn a lot about them. But it isn't really learning anything. It really is just thinking about them with love and respect. And, I mean, bees literally are like they're like light and love made physical. And there's so much more to say about that. But if we just give them love back, you know, just love them. And when you see a bee, talk to that little bee like you did with the bug in your pool, and let it know that you're so grateful for its existence and for the honey that it provides and the pollination. And that little bee that you're talking to will take that message back to the whole hive. And suddenly they'll feel appreciated and their immune systems will get stronger. And sooner or later, if more people do that, they'll stop dying off.
Well, you know, I didn't see any bees at all in my garden for a few days, Sharon. And I just asked him to come back. I said, I love you. I honor you. I bless you. You're needed here. Come back. And they're all over again.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Some appreciation.
And we need to appreciate all the ways that that all the beings are working together to make this planet work.
That's right.
If we don't have any bees, it's over.
It's all over. That's right.
It's all over.
All over. everything will come to a screeching halt.
And you know, I also tell people, do something every day for global healing, global greening, global cooling.
Yes.
Do something every day.
Yes.
And one
other thing, too, Iris, going back to what you were saying about being childlike.
Uh-huh.
If there's anybody that's really interested in bees, one of the things that I recommend is to go into the children's section of a bookstore and look for a children's book on bees, because they have these magnificent children's books with drawings and beautiful drawings and all of these overlays so that you can see inside the hive, and you can learn everything that you need to know about a bee from a children's book. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and they'll teach you too. And
they will.
And you know, the other thing is, I think it's so important to take a stand in every way. Like, I went into a beautiful, beautiful store where they have crystals and
mm-hmm.
And all kinds of things I love, and they had framed butterflies.
Oh.
And I will never shop there again.
Good.
I will never shop
Good
there
for
again.
You.
are we out of time? I'm sorry, I thought we had another couple minutes. Sharon, thank you so much for being with us. I want to talk to you more about the bees, and we'll do it again soon.
I can't wait.
Thank you for everything. And thank you for listening, and we'll be back Monday at 2 o'clock. Until then, happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep shining until then, happy trails to you. Till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible.